At 5:44, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. We're going to spend the next several minutes exploring last night's primary elections in Texas. First, a development in the Democratic primary for U.S. Senate. It's heading to a May runoff. Air Force veteran M.J. Hagar will face Dallas State Senator Royce West. Hagar got about 22% of the vote last night. West was just one percentage point ahead of Christina Sinsun Ramirez, but she conceded this afternoon in a message on Twitter. Last night, KERA's Hadi Mawagdi spoke with West at his watch party in Dallas.
You know, a lot of times when it comes to these sorts of races where potentially there's a runoff, you know, a spring election, people aren't catching up with who's the most experienced or who has the most money until then. And I wonder, you know, you have to make a footprint early and make sure that you're around for that long.
No, you're right. You're right about that. And once we get to the point of the runoff, you'll have two candidates, and there'll be a contrast that you can draw between the two of them and make a determination in terms of what type of U.S. senator you want. Do you want to go? It's just like doing an operation. If you have to have a serious operation, the question becomes, do you want someone with the experience or do you want a fresh face? I think you want someone with experience.
Do you feel like when it comes to finances, you'll be able to compete if there's a runoff?
Yes. I mean, I'll have the resources. We'll make certain we get the resources necessary in order to run a race in order to win it. Now, will we have the millions and millions of dollars that the Senate Democratic Campaign Committee pumped into her race? No, we won't. That's just, it is what it is. But I think we will be able to nationalize this race and get people to will be able to contribute to it.
Well, thank you so much. My pleasure. Appreciate your time.
That was KERA's Hadi Mawagdi talking with State Senator Royce West, who's heading to a Democratic Party runoff for U.S. Senate. We're now going to take a closer look at some congressional primaries across North Texas. Longtime Fort Worth Republican Congresswoman Kay Granger fought off what possibly was the toughest primary challenge of her long career, defeating conservative activist Chris Putnam. KERA's Christopher Connolly reports.
Kay Granger was effusive when she stepped onto a small stage in a Fort Worth restaurant to thank her supporters.
Thank you so much for your help. I'll never forget as long as I live. Thank you for giving me this wonderful opportunity to serve you. I never take it for granted, but I love it when you vote for me. Thank you so much.
Granger is an institution in North Texas politics. The former Fort Worth mayor was first elected to Congress in 1996. Now she's the top Republican on the powerful House Budget Writing Committee, where she's long been a champion of robust defense spending, which benefits defense contractors that employ a lot of people in her district, like Lockheed Martin and Bell Helicopter.
I want to spend every day making sure our nation's secure and our military has the best weapons and the best training in the world.
Former Colleyville City Council member Chris Putnam ran to her right, blasting Granger for not being conservative enough on issues like abortion and approving too much federal spending. Anti-tax groups, including Club for Growth, spent millions of dollars supporting him. Tarrant County Judge Glenn Whitley says the outside spending was expected.
You know, it's those folks who basically are trying to buy elections. So we knew it was going to be a tough battle. And Kay just hung in there and campaigned like I've never seen her campaign before.
Granger will face Democrat Lisa Welch in November. I'm Christopher Connolly in Fort Worth.
Now to Dallas County in the 32nd Congressional District. Dallas business executive Genevieve Collins will face Democrat Colin Allred in the general election this fall. Collins defeated four other Republicans in last night's primary, one of the closely watched races in North Texas. KERA Stella Chavez stopped by Collins' watch party.
Collins received a rousing welcome when she walked in to greet her supporters at a Dallas rally. Her goal, she said, to make sure Republicans take back the district, which includes northeastern Dallas County and a part of Collin County. Democrats took control of the seat after Allred defeated longtime Republican Pete Sessions in 2018.
His election was part of a cycle in 2018 that was part of a referendum year, and I believe that it was also part of just we didn't show as Republicans and conservatives that we were listening to our community.
The district has become more diverse and more Democratic in recent years, but Collins touts her support for businesses and that she's a native Texan and a woman as reasons why voters will choose her. Her closest challenger was Floyd McClendon, a military veteran and former U.S. Navy SEAL. I'm Stella Chavez in Dallas.
Now to the 24th Congressional District, which includes parts of Dallas, Denton, and Tarrant counties. Voters in U.S. House District 24 have narrowed down a dozen candidates vying to succeed retiring Kenny Marchant. KEI's Bill Siebel reports on the Republican primary outcome.
Former Irving Mayor Beth Van Dyne was so strong, she won outright, no runoff, with clear majorities in each of the district's three counties, Tarrant, Dallas, and Denton. Van Dyne told her supporters that the Republican vote represented a unified conservative voice.
We want somebody who is going to be able to strengthen our borders. We want somebody who is going to back and support our military. We don't want the attack-style politics, and I know that we don't want socialism.
Absolutely. Now, Van Dyne will have 8 months to prepare for a Democratic opponent still to be chosen. I'm Bill Siebel in Dallas.
On the Democratic side in the 24th Congressional District, the two top contenders will head to a May runoff. KERA's Syeda Hassan talked with the leading candidates.
In a crowded field of Democrats, retired Air Force Colonel Kim Olson took an early lead. Olson was the top fundraiser in the Democratic primary for this suburban North Texas district. If nominated, she feels confident she could win the general election.
I think what you see in our nation today is they want a leader that is not more divisive than what we got now, but someone that's going to pull the country back together and do what's best for all people in TX24 and Texans as a whole.
Olson had a comfortable lead over Candace Valenzuela, a former member of the Carrollton Farmers Branch School Board. She's earned endorsements from high-profile Democrats, including Senator Elizabeth Warren. Valenzuela says going to a runoff would give her more time to reach out to voters.
It's going to be great to be able to communicate our message without the fog of the presidentials hanging over us, everything going around Super Tuesday, and those things tend to crowd out a lot of the messages down ballot.
I'm Syeda Hassan in Carrollton.
Now to the race for the Democratic nomination for president. Last night, the biggest prize in Joe Biden's surprisingly strong Super Tuesday was Texas. And exit polls show the power behind the former vice president's surge came from last-minute deciders. KERA talked with a handful of Democrats who've been weighing their presidential options between Biden, Mike Bloomberg, Pete Buttigieg, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and others.
My name is Marcus Gase. I'm 47 years old, and I live in Dallas, Texas. I voted for Biden. The reason being is that he was a member of Obama's administration. Basically, I did it because he was one of those guys who had some of the same values and characteristics that Obama, and he stood for what Obama stood for. It was difficult because I think Bloomberg had some values that I liked as well. We need a change in our administration.
I'm Richard Rivas, and I live in Dallas. I was just looking for a candidate that I thought could unify our country. I had another candidate in mind, and when that candidate supported the candidate I voted for, I decided to vote for him. I was like, well, who could do the job the best? And I felt like if Pete could get behind him and I was his original supporter, then I could get behind Biden because we need to unify as a party. I was delightfully surprised because it looked like Biden last week was down in terms of numbers and polling, and then he kind of came back and had a resurgence. The silver lining with the past, three and a half, almost 4 years now is it's forced me to be more engaged, involved with politics. So this is my first time to vote in the primary.
My name is Cecilia Pack-Kaiser. I live in Dallas for the last 35 years. I was undecided until the last minute, to be honest. It has not been an easy journey. Changed my mind a couple times, but I went for Joe Biden. Things can change rapidly. And so I need to enter the last minute to make sure that I have done my homework. I began with Elizabeth Warren, and then went down to Bernie, and then thought about Mike Bloomberg. And then after realizing that everybody is pretty much dropping out, I say it's time to join the forces and go with Joe Biden. I'm actually an independent, but I am voting Democrat this year to ensure that we have a great outcome in November. I will be 100% behind the person that represents the Democratic Party this time.
My name is Alex Spark, and I'm from Dallas, Texas. I had a feeling that Biden was going to win the primary, so I'm not surprised. But my preference was Bernie, so I just voted for who I wanted. Most people that I talked to, I reminded all my friends, and most people that I talked to had gone or were going to vote. So this is my first time voting in a primary. I just felt like it's a really important time to get involved and speak your mind and go vote. And hopefully everyone just gets behind him and we can all support him and hopefully beat Trump in November.
That was Alex Bark. And before that, we heard from Richard Rivas, Cecilia Packheiser, and Marcus Gates. The story was produced by KERA's Miguel Perez and Rachel Osier-Lindley. Last night in Harris County, some voters waited hours to vote. One man waited about 6 hours. Hervis Rogers was the last person to vote at Texas Southern University in Houston. He cast his ballot around 1 a.m. His patience earned him national attention. Rogers talked with Houston Public Media. He says he considered leaving when he first got to the polling location and saw the length of a line.
I started turning around and said, forget it. But some come over me and say, go on, get in the line, make the best of it, put up with it, you know, and that's what I'm doing. I went to a couple of other polling places, and it was worse, so. Somebody that folks have been taking care of the boots, the vote, I don't think they did a proper job because it don't make no sense that line was like this. Somebody dropped the ball. And then it was a guy come outside stating that they put some old machine, but no, they didn't. Don't we would be out of here. Because it's really frustrating when you're working and you got to get off and do this. Then you got to get ready and go back to work. It's time consuming. But it wouldn't make no sense me walk away now. I'm already here. Let's go with the flow and get it done, you know. But, you know, my point is this, is don't complain, you know. If you get out and vote, then you can say, well, at least I tried to do my part. You know, it's worth to sacrifice something that you believe in, and that's what I'm doing. I mean, I wouldn't feel right if I didn't vote. I mean, I feel like it's, I voiced my opinion, but it don't feel right if I don't vote. So I said, well, I'm going to take a stand and vote. It might make a difference. I've been voting for the past 15, 20 years. I feel good about voting, but I messed up. What I messed up at is I should have went on and did early voting. But when the other time it come again time to vote, I'm going to do the early voting. I'll make sure I get that in.
That's Hervis Rogers, who waited about 6 hours last night to vote in Houston. For more election coverage from Super Tuesday, check out keranews.org. We have stories, reaction, and results, and you can search coverage on Twitter using the hashtag TXDecides. And tonight at 10, tune in to Think as host Chris Boyd recaps Super Tuesday results. Is the race for the Democratic nomination for president clear or cloudier? We hear from David Barker, director of the Center for Congressional Presidential Studies at American University, and Niambi Carter, assistant professor of political science at Howard University. That's tonight at 10 here on KERA 90.1.